And I confronted them and cursed them and beat some of them and pulled out their hair. Wow, what happened here? Was some CTS professor upset with the performance of his students on a midterm? Did the coach of the Kingsmen let them have it after Monday night's game? Did our Board of Regents get upset with the administration of our seminary? No. Nehemiah, former cupbearer to the king of Persia, became very upset with his people because as he returned to be governor of Judah, all of the Ammonites, Moabites, and Ashdodites, all foreigners who did not worship God, were streaming into Jerusalem and, yes, even into the temple. And beyond that, Israelite men had even married these foreigners. So Nehemiah lost his cool. He read from the Pentateuch a passage that forbade these actions. He chased these foreigners out of Jerusalem, and he reminded the Jews how Solomon got into trouble big time because of foreign women. So he whooped up on the Jews who had married these foreigners, confronting them, cursing them, beating them, and pulling out their hair. How's that for church discipline? And we think that Arizona's immigration law is strict. It's a good thing that shaved heads and bald heads are in style now, even within our church. Well, why exactly was it that Nehemiah got so upset over the acts of the Jews? Shouldn't Nehemiah just sort of write this off? Oh, this is a matter of political correctness, and, you know, we'll take everybody. Or do you think perhaps he had some memories of bad wine that he tasted for the king in Persia? No, Nehemiah was upset, and upset justifiably, because what was at stake was the purity and the unity and the holiness of the church itself. Nothing less than the worship of the one true God, Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was at stake. You see, these Israelites couldn't borrow liturgically from the Ammonites, the Moabites, or the Ashdodites without changing who the true God was. They couldn't borrow teachings from false religions without attacking Yahweh himself. The identity of the true God, when mixed with alien theology, resulted in a false God. Nehemiah knew that the very salvation of the people before him was at risk, at stake. So this was a very serious matter, and I'm sure you're now thinking, well, I'm sure glad that I didn't live then. I don't want my hair pulled out. I don't want to be cursed, and I don't want to be beaten. You probably are thinking, well, I'm sure glad that I haven't married someone that I shouldn't have married, a Hindu or a Scientologist or even perhaps a woman from the Wisconsin Synod. But in a real sense, you and I have mixed false doctrine into the doctrine, the true doctrine, often inadvertently, sometimes innocently, sometimes for lack of knowledge. You know, these are things are forgiven by God in Christ, but they do occur. A little matter of exactly how do you understand the genus Maiestaticum, or what exactly is involved in concupiscence? Or even perhaps a larger error, as we had with one student who was here about 8 or 10 years ago, who thought that the chief central doctrine of the faith was the casting of lots. His seminary career was brief. Most likely, our inadvertent mixture of false doctrine into the truth is the result of our society and pressures from society, and also simply our sinful, fallen condition itself. We are the ones who are tempted to bring the latest Reformed practices right into our churches. We are the ones who somehow think that we should be able to condone those who believe otherwise. If we're honest with ourselves, at times we even think that perhaps God has some way outside Christ in which he might save people. Of course, that is wrong. That is false doctrine. That is not the doctrine of our Lord and Savior. Well, what is there that could be worse than pulling out your hair, one hair at a time? She loves me, she loves me not. What is there that's worse? How about being nailed to a cross? How about having a crown of thorns pushed into your skull? How about the Roto-Rooter job with the spear into the body? Yes, indeed, these are much worse things than those we just discussed. However, the irony is, whereas Nehemiah's actions were probably considered pretty ugly and pretty awful, and also the treatment that Christ received, yet we know, looking at Christ on the cross, that here is the true unity of the truth, of true unity of the church. Here is where we are unified as the body of Christ. As we see him, we behold him, and we know that this is the true God. This is true worship when we behold Christ on the cross. No room for Christ to take foreign brides because he has his blood-bought bride, the church. The Christian church is Christ alone with no additives, nothing from foreign religions. Fortunately, you believe this, and I believe this, because we are baptized. We know that Jesus Christ is God and that he is our true Savior. And by God's grace, because of our knowledge of that, we can indeed cling to him alone. We can see the beauty and simplicity of the Christian message. We could avoid changing the salvation story, but focusing on Jesus alone. And the Spirit will work in and through each of us as we speak the word of Christ to bring many to salvation. You and I can sing the praise of Christ. We can always, always rejoice in our baptism. There will always be challenges of false doctrine coming in or attempting to come in. Unionism and syncretism, for example. But we have the promise that the gates of hell will never, never, never break in against Christ himself. There might be a little bit of cursing, beating, and hair pulling necessary from time to time. But Jesus has forgiven all of our sins. In his holy name, amen.